What is it? Somebody tell me.
This is my Bible.
That's right. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I am what it says I am.
It is my ruling guide.
It is my ruling guide.
To my daily living.
To my daily living.
I will read it.
I will read it.
I will study it.
I will study it.
And I will use it.
And I will use it.
That I might gain wisdom.
That I might gain wisdom.
Through my obedience.
Through my obedience.
To his commands.
To his commands.
Which will lead me.
Which will lead me.
To eternal life with him.
With him.
Now is that not special?
Amen. Amen.
So tonight, you know, I had a kind of a deal Thursday over at Mark and Jeannie's, where Mark and William and I kept walking about telling each other, hey man, be a man. Be a man. Right? And women told us to shut up.
We did.
But it's important when you're talking about being a man of God. Tonight we're going to talk about some men, and they were men of God, some of them. But it's important that we understand as Christians that we understand that it is okay to fail. We are free to fail. Now I know some of you probably, there's something wrong with that preacher. He must be crazy. Well, I'm going to explain it to you because it tells us about it in the Bible. First scripture we're going to look at is Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to begin with verse number 23. Matthew 5:23. Therefore, I always like it when it starts out with therefore. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thou brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into the prison. And the next one, I'm going to go ahead and read it now, is y'all probably all know it by heart, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's important. There's two very different statements. You know, one could have been made by a man who was afraid to fail and therefore he did nothing. And the other involved a man who was free to fail and did everything. As far as the biblical record is concerned, some of the greatest achievements in the history of God's kingdom have come from very ordinary, imperfect people. And then every once in a while we meet that person who, man, I can't call him ordinary, because I don't meet people like him very often. But I can definitely call him a man of God because of the things that he does. So I stand before you as an imperfect person. I stand before you as an ordinary man. But it's not what I do, it's what God does through me that counts. So I may fail at what I do, but God never fails. So there are times when God might allow failure to occur. So tonight, as far as the biblical record is concerned, we're going to talk about some of those great achievements. And then there's the people who have overcome failure to be used of God in a significant way. Their lives model some biblical principles. Before we get started on that, I want you to stop and think just a second as an illustration. What was Jesus born for?
To save us.
In order to do that, he had to what? Did he not pray to be delivered from what he was facing?
Yes.
So, was he delivered? So you see, you could say that in a way, there was failure there. There was failure there. Because he prayed to be delivered, but he wasn't. That was a failure, right? But look what he became by following what God wanted him to do. See, he didn't have to do that. We don't have to do the thing God instructs us to do. But we want to make sure that the things that we do are the things God is wanting us to do. So, you see, sometimes we do. As men and women, we fail. Some people spend their lives trying to cover up their mistakes. You ever met somebody that way? I have. They become prisoners of pretense, retreating into fabrication and delusion. Their entire life becomes a charade, a great hypocrisy. Someone that says, "I did." But in truth, they should be saying, "I didn't." But they take credit for doing things that other people did. Or they build themselves up to be someone that they're not. That's why I want to make sure all of y'all understand that what you see up here standing on this stage is me. Just me. It doesn't have anything to do with what I've done before. It all has to do with what I do from this point forward. So it's important that we understand that each one of us in some way has failed at one time or another. We need to be willing to admit our failures before we can ever overcome them. What can be used as a failure? Belinda and I did not start going back to church until about 6 or 8 months before we got married. It was before Christmas, wasn't it? Or was it? I don't remember. But I do know that the reason we started back was because Belinda felt uncomfortable not going to church on Easter Sunday. Huh?
Any Sunday.
Well, in particular, Easter Sunday was what brought her to the front. See, I'm being corrected already.
Oh, stop it.
Gary, would you sit between those two? No. But the thing is, we were not going to church because Ken wouldn't go. And then when we went to church, Belinda wanted to sit on one side of Jerry Poteet, and me sat on the other side. My failure was not in being the man of the house and getting up and going to church. Our failure was because we didn't force each other to get up and go to church. But when we finally went, it was like everything we had been missing all of a sudden began to fall into place. But our failure was in not serving God the way He wanted us to. So we ended up going to the church that she had been in since she was 9 years old. And I became involved there. And we were able to grow from there. Another failure that I had was the fact that I surrendered to preach when I was 17. And preached my first message in, I said 17, that was in 1967. Or 1968. And my first message was in 2005. Waited a long time, didn't I? Why? Was I scared? Probably. Did I feel like I wanted to talk in public? Probably not. Did I feel like I could teach Sunday school? Did I feel like I could do music in the church? Do the music in the church? Not really. Because they were doing music that I didn't know. They were doing praise tunes. But from that church, God brought us down to Cobb Baptist Church. The next thing I know, I'm getting a call from Chapel of the Lake to come and be pastor. Well, my immediate answer was, I've got to pray about it. And of course, my immediate answer to Belinda was, I don't know that this is what God wants me to do. So I waited 3 weeks to give them an answer. But I've not regretted it at all, because I have grown in each step of the way as much as I studied. And I have grown because of that. But I'm still an imperfect, ordinary man. You can ask Belinda and Nola, and they will both tell you I'm imperfect.
Amen. You asked for it.
You can ask the praise team. They can tell you I'm not perfect.
Amen.
But you know what? I don't want you to ask Letty, because then she'd have to tell the truth and she'd feel bad. We are all imperfect human beings. If we were perfect, we wouldn't be here. We're imperfect. Each one of us. And it's important that we understand that. That even after you're saved, living in this world that we live in, you're still subject to being imperfect. And you still may fail. Now, if Ron and I told y'all that he and I are going to go in business together, where we're going to build a big, huge apartment building in Canton, and we were going to rake in all that rent money every month. And then we didn't do it. Well, first of all, we never intended to do it. We're just blowing ourselves up, you know? That's what imperfect Christians or imperfect people do. They build themselves up to be something they're not. But that's one thing I like about everybody here. What you see is what you get. And that's the way it ought to be. That's the way it ought to be. You know, I have no doubt that if Tommy had big old rubber bands and spit wads, I'd be having to dodge them up here. Isn't that right, Tommy?
That's right.
No, I don't think Tommy would do that. But I don't think Tommy's beyond coming to me shaking his finger in my face telling me things that I might have done wrong or something I might have said that's wrong. And that's good. That's good. I'm imperfect. I'm just an ordinary person. But we have to be willing to honestly confess those things that we have done that make us imperfect and confess them to God and ask for His forgiveness. We have to be willing to be honest and seek his forgiveness that we might be restored to where he wants us to be. If there's any place we should be able to admit our failures, it's right here in this church. If there's any place that you can admit a failure, this ought to be the place you should do it. Why? Do you admit it to me? No, you don't admit it to me. You admit it to God. He's the one that wants to hear from you. I mean, if I stood here and I was going to confess to y'all all of the places where I'm lacking, we'd be here till next Thursday. Maybe longer. Because I'm not perfect, and neither are you. Christians are not perfect. This is the good part I love this part. Christians are not perfect. You believe that?
Yes.
Yes.
Miss Faye?
Yes, I
do. You know what? Christians are not perfect. Do you know why? Because you're forgiven. You're not perfect, but you're forgiven. Same with all of us. None of us are perfect. We're just forgiven for those things because we've gone to God with them. That allows us to be able to fail and not be concerned about it, but to go to God with it and let Him bring the forgiveness. It's forgiveness that we all seek. Because if we're not forgiven, we're not where we're supposed to be, are we? Because you know why you're not forgiven? Because you haven't asked. You haven't asked. And that's what we need to do as men and women of God, and to step up to the plate and ask for forgiveness, receive that forgiveness, and pick up and move on. That's what we have to do. And I got to tell you, I have to ask forgiveness quite often. It's getting awful verbal on this side, isn't it? I have to ask for forgiveness quite often. You know why? I'm just an ordinary man. I'm just imperfect. But I'm here to serve God. So it's important that we understand we're not perfect. We're just forgiven. That's the good part. We're forgiven. So I want to tell you, don't be discouraged by your failures. When you fail in life, you're in good company. Just look back at history. Sir Walter Scott. Thomas Edison. Richard Byrd. Walt Disney. All were considered failures before they went on to their greatest achievements. They were all considered failures. In the Bible, too, we read of failures whom God took and used to accomplish great things in His service. God can use anyone in His service if you're willing. If you're willing. You know, he took a slave who was hiding as a fugitive from justice and used him to deliver an entire nation from bondage. A slave hiding as a fugitive. And God used him to deliver an entire nation from bondage. We must be talking about Moses. He was a failure. But God used him because he gave himself up to God to be used by him. It's what we need to do. We need to be ready to do that every time says God, or God looks at you just, Ken? Yes, sir? Ken? Yes, Lord. Ken? What? I want you to be my servant at Good Hope Baptist Church. Yes, Lord. Whatever you want, I'll be there. God wants us all to be servants to Him. Not servants like in bondage, but a servant who does His will as He beckons us to step out. He took a woman who failed in marriage 7 times and used her to win an entire city to the Savior. So He can use anybody. He can use anyone. He took a crooked tax collector. Now who? I'm going to be honest now. Which one of y'all in here likes a tax collector? Because I didn't hear no grunts or nothing when I said that. But God took a crooked tax collector and made him into an apostle and a biographer of the life of Christ. How could he do that? Because he was not perfect, he was forgiven. He can be used by God. So we have to remember these things, because these are the great stories of the Bible that tell us, hey, it doesn't make any difference what you've done in your life. It doesn't make any difference the mistakes you made. You come to God, you confess it, you're forgiven, and you go to work for Him.
Amen.
He took a man who failed Jesus Christ in his darkest hour, denied Him 3 times, and he was used of God to open the doors of the kingdom on earth that all might come in. He can use anybody. He can use anyone. He can do the very same thing in our lives. I don't care where you failed. God doesn't care where you failed. You're not a failure. You're forgiven. You're His. But you come to Him and tell Him, Lord, You know what I've done, and I ask for forgiveness now because I want You to take me and use me as a man of God or as a woman of God. I want to be used in Your service. And when you come to Him with a heart that is broken to do that for Him, He'll put that heart back together. He'll pat you on the head and He'll say, my child, are you ready to go to work? And He'll find something for you to do. He can do that in our life. You see, God does not easily give up on His children. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? I mean, look how many things that could have happened to me in those years before I finally stepped out to serve Him the way He called me to serve. I'm not saying I didn't go to church. I'm not saying I wasn't active in the church. I'm not saying that I didn't come to the church and help take up the offering, greet the people, do whatever I needed to do. And then Belinda and I, we were greeters at the front door of the church. And I worked in the music part of the service. But we were doing what God gave us to do. Even though Belinda almost killed me when I told her that I volunteered us to do that. But the thing is, it's not what I've done, it's what I'm going to do. I'm not a failure as long as God's leading. As long as I'm following what He tells me, I cannot fail. But in some people's eyes, they would call it failure because I'm not doing the things I used to do. So we have to remember that God does not easily give up on His children. I look at that. You remember in the Bible where it talks about the potter? It'd be like that tireless potter bending over that spoiled clay that he was making, but yet in his heart he still desires to make something good and beautiful. and noble. It's the same thing God does. He wants to take our life. He wants to bend us around to do the things He wants us to do. And He wants to create in us a noble peace that people can look at and know that's a child of God. It's what He wants to do. You know, some people are petrified at the thought of failure. I failed a lot. I did. I failed a lot. But they would rather face anything than the ego-shattering experience of trying something and having it end in failure. Well, Lenny, I don't think I can play that song, so I'm not even going to attempt it. Y'all go ahead and do it. And some of the best times that I've heard Letty play is when she'd come to me on Sunday morning. She'd say, "I don't know if I can keep up this morning. I don't know if I can play this." And it's one of the best services we have. Billy, I got to tell y'all, I was so surprised when he got up here and started doing the directing the praise team. I never thought Billy would do that. But God got a hold of him and said, "I've got something for you to do, son." And Billy said, "But Lord, why do you want me? I'm a failure in so many things." And God says, "I don't care. Come to me and we can do away with those failures. I'll give you rest and I'll make of you something I want you to be." And Billy has opened up. I don't know if y'all remember the first Sunday he was here. As big as he is like a little timid mouse out there, you know. Because he was scared. He was scared. He had never, ever stood on the stage and sung in church. But look at him now. God can use any of us. Sometimes we adopt a play-it-safe philosophy and end up just not doing anything at all. It's not until we're free to fail that we become free to succeed. No one was more free to fail than Jesus. It's impossible to look like a success when you're hanging on a cross, isn't it? You ever thought of that? It's impossible to look like God's Son, a success story, when He's hanging on a cross. He's bleeding and dying, but yet He did. Did He do what He wanted to do? I'm assuming it was. And the reason I assumed that is because, remember, he prayed that God would take it from him. But God didn't. He made a failure of Jesus that Jesus might win and be the Savior. So we don't know what God has in store for us as His children, but we do know that we are free to fail, but we're also free to serve. If the church cannot risk failure in the sight of men, how can we succeed in the sight of God? You ever thought of that? The church cannot risk failure in the sight of men. How can we succeed in the sight of God? Well, in the sight of men, Ron, we don't go to bars anymore, do we? Lady was goody when she was a girl, so. Well, what I'm getting at is what we were is not what we are now. And it was okay for me to fail at that job in order to succeed in the job that God has for me. It's the same way with the church.
People might see this church as a failure because people are in here not out of First Monday. It's not a failure. Not in the sight of God. In the sight of God, every person that's here is blessed. Not only is that person blessed, they're a child of God. So in Christ, we're called to be secure enough in God's grace to conquer our fear of failure. We're called to be free enough in our faith to take the risks that bring reward. Abraham Lincoln suffered a string of failures before he was ever elected to the presidency of our country. I don't know if y'all know this about Lincoln, so I'm going to give you a history lesson right quick. His country store went out of business. Failure. As a young lawyer, he had trouble getting clients. Failure. He was defeated in his campaigns for the state legislature. Failure. He was defeated in his campaign for the House of Representatives. Failure. He was defeated in his campaigns for the Senate and the Vice Presidency. Failure. Yet very few, if any, Americans have had more impact on our history than Abraham Lincoln. So you see, he may have failed at those things, but he won at the thing that mattered. That's the way we are as Christians. I don't care if I fail the world as long as I serve my God. That's where we need to have our heart, is in service to Him. It's important that we do the things that God wants us to do. But all we have to do is to go to Him, ask for forgiveness, and start anew. That's all we have to do. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank You for bringing us together. I thank You for the love that You give us, Lord. I thank You, Father, for everything that You have given to this church and Your support of this church, Your watchful eye. For Lord, this church is a church that's on the move. I believe that because You have something You want us to do. But we, as the men and women of Good Hope Baptist Church, must step out and say, Lord, use me in whatever way You would have me to go. So that's why we need to search our souls, Lord, and make the decision to serve You and not serve the world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Right. There was some announcement that you want, or something you wanted me to make. Something we were talking about coming to church. Oh, well, I can't think what it is. I'll wait till Sunday and give it to Brother Walt and let him take the heat.
So you won't be a failure?
I won't be a failure that way. All right. I'm glad y'all were here. As Belinda said, I'm glad little Stinkweed was here. He didn't even come down the center aisle tonight. I saw you turn around. Make a U-turn.
That's why he was getting so mad.